Welcome to Home Health Revealed, where we share real stories from industry leaders about home health, palliative, and hospice care. Brought to you by Velocity. Grow your home health or hospice agency with the power of Velocity. Velocity's easy-to-read coding and revenue cycle dashboards let you grab your cup of coffee and quickly see the health of your organization.
The Home Health Revealed podcast. I'm your host, Mike Greenlee. And like always, great Hannah Vale is in the house. What's up, Hannah?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. We've got a good show today. We're going to be talking about AI.
I was going back through our old podcast because, you know, this is our 74th, I believe, podcast, which is incredible to me. But almost 3 years ago now, you and I did a podcast on the AI revolution that was coming. And it's really funny to go back and listen to how that has aged.
Were we at all accurate with what we said back then?
I mean, yes, we were. I feel like we've done pretty well with like embracing AI with wisdom, right? But we're talking about the Jetsons and just, you know.
Right. Well, it's going to become that for sure.
I know.
But anyway, you know, so these AI things, right? You know, like machine learning, whatever you want to call them. I mean, they even can understand hillbilly, which I'm pretty impressed by that. You know, because here in Missouri, we talk a certain twang.
No,
you know
what I mean? In Northern Ohio, we do too, but it's different. It's more sophisticated.
All right. Well, anyway, today we got Patrick that's going to be hanging with us, and he's going to be talking about some of his cool stuff that they're coming out with. I'm super excited to be talking about it. And then what's even going to be better is we're going to use it live with me.
Yeah, we're going to try it out.
As the patient, which I'm an excellent patient. So I'm excited about this. I'm going to see if I can't trip this AI bot or person or not sure what you call them these days, Patrick. Forgive me if I just butchered that. We'll let the audience know what this thing really does. But I am super excited. So Hannah, let's introduce the audience to Patrick and learn a little bit about his product.
All right. Patrick Mobley is a seasoned healthcare innovator and the CEO and co-founder of Vivid Health. His career launched at Deloitte as a consultant and advanced through impactful roles at Evolent Health, Bright Health, and Allidade. Now based in North Carolina, Patrick is dedicated to harnessing technology and fresh ideas to transform post-acute care delivery. In today's podcast, he's going to share his unique insights on streamlining patient care and driving meaningful change in the healthcare landscape.
Patrick, when I heard about the podcast, I was, like I said, I was super excited. So I was stalking your webpage, by the way. So if you see an increased traffic, it's basically just me. I went on there like 15 different times. But it's really cool what you're doing. Website was very informational, but you know, you built a career in healthcare innovation. Now with Vivid Health, you're tracking some of the biggest inefficiencies in the post-acute space. So can you share with us the aha moment that led you to create Vivid Health?
Yeah. Yeah. And appreciate you both having me here. As from North Carolina, I'll also have my own twang. So keep the theme alive. But started my career in consulting and then was fortunate to work with three high growth health startups. And along the way and through the variety of roles I had, worked with many, many nurses, a lot of them reporting up through me through the years. And the thing that we always struggled with getting the nurses to caseload, to full panel size, and the thing that drove them I wouldn't call it inefficiencies because they were all very, very hardworking, but maybe created the most frustration was just the admin burden each one of them held. It would take anywhere from 1 to 4 hours for them to call a patient, assess a patient, build a care plan around a patient, and follow up. And so I was given this wonderful opportunity to start Vivid Health with the idea of solving for that specific issue, knowing that it had a lot of tentacles and a whole lot of different areas around throughout healthcare. Literally every primary care practice, specialty practice, post-acute care practice has some level of both admin burden and need to really engage at scale, especially in a world where you have clinician shortages and clinician burnout and things like that. And so the idea with Vivid Health was, how do we do that? How do we stay laser focused such that clinicians have nothing left to do but provide care? And imagine that for a second. Like they spend what's called pajama time or maybe 6 out of their 8 hours in the office, filling out paperwork, making phone calls. And if you remove that, what would they do? They would help, you know, find transportation for your grandmother, or they would help make sure that your family member has a PCP appointment coming up. And that's really what we anchored on. And so what Vivid Health does is we are think of it as like an AI enablement company. So we offer a full end-to-end platform for the entire episode of care in the home health and hospice space. from the moment of intake where the patient is referred in. You'll meet our good friend Sage, who is our AI agent, who can call and engage a patient and assess a patient. But we can, as I said, we can begin the OASIS documentation process right there at intake. Or we can have the start of care nurse begin the process before they enter the home. We can take that data, we can create a care plan. And to use a baseball analogy, we can get the nurse to a point where she's at second, or she or he or she is at second or third base before they ever enter the home. So that 2 to 3 hour time frame they're spending in the home can get down to maybe it's an hour, maybe it's less. And then that allows that nurse to see one more patient and provide more care to one more person. And then when we do all of that, we don't leave the nurse alone. Like, we don't, our platform doesn't stop there. It then helps manage the ongoing care with those patients. So for the nurse that does have time to go see a second patient that day or a third patient that day, we automate follow-up with the patients. And we even take data from patients and their caregivers to say, like, of the 20 patients you're managing today, here are the 5 you need to focus on. Here are the next 5 that you can focus on, so on and so forth, so that you're managing at scale. A nice analogy for the whole platform is think of it as the nurse becomes an air traffic controller for all the various activities that are occurring under their watch, and doing it in the most efficient way, but doing it laser focused on providing care and not admin work, because we've taken that away from them. And we're passionate about it. If you can't hear in my voice, like, this is a thing we're good now. We're going to continue to get better and better at it as we move forward and mature as a company.
Well, you're 100% correct. I mean, we part of our theory too is we always want to reduce the number of changes, right? And it really pinpoints what you're saying is you don't want them spending a lot of time in the evening or at coffee shops or whatever doing their documentation. They love seeing patients. Nobody's favorite job is to do paperwork, right? And you're basically taking that away from them. Which is a great thing. I mean, this allows them to spend more time with the patient and less time doing paperwork, right?
Right.
And I think that's incredible. I mean, it's very incredible. And I think from an agency's perspective, boy, you want to talk about retention. If you're an agency that has technology like this, and you can sit there and hire a clinician and say, listen, we're taking the paperwork, basically away from you through our technology. If I was a clinician, I'd be like, sign me up.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that we made a decision on very early is we actually ended up trademarking the term provider-led AI. And the reason we did that is, we're taking the admin burden away, and we're automating a lot of the work. We can automate, follow up with patients, all sorts of wonderful things. But we trademarked the term provider-led AI because we always wanted to be crystal clear to our customers that they still have their hands on the wheel. We're not using AI as if like it's a robot going out there doing all the work and there is no clinician oversight or the nurse doesn't have control over what's actually occurring. That is very foundational to the way that we built the platform. Rather, they are the manager of the activities that go on, and they determine what outreach should be undertaken or what the care plan should say. We just make it as efficient as possible, but still giving them all the control. We have this, when I give presentations, we have this slide, and it often resonates where it says, for every clinician that uses our platform, they get their very own executive assistant, they get their very own medical assistant, they get their very own clinical manager. Because the platform conducts so many different activities, that single nurse is now amplified and it's been given a whole team of AI tools and AI agents to go out and manage at scale, but with complete control over what happens.
You need to build one for CEOs. We need all that stuff right there. Yeah. So just your next big idea, that's what I'm saying, dude. So let's do this because I'm a kind of a visual guy. So let's role play this. So if I'm a clinician and I'm getting ready to go into a patient's home and I've got Sage with me, right? I'm getting ready to talk with the patient. I'm assuming I get patient's permission, right? Patient says, yeah, no problem. Sage can hang with us. And then what's Sage doing for me when I'm assessing the patient?
Yeah. So let's take one step back and then we're going to go back into the patient's home. Okay. So let's say the patient, the referral has been received from the hospital, wherever it may be. At the point of intake, you can send, Sage is just the AI agent that can go out and make calls and engage with the patient. So you could send her out to confirm insurance. You could send her out to initiate OASIS questions that don't necessarily require visual sight of the patient. So you wouldn't have her ask wound evaluation questions, right? But you can ask, have her ask about confirming language or confirming a variety of other sections. Actually, about 94% of the sections within OASIS can be started, pre-visit. And so Sage can go out and ask those questions. And then we can take that data and then push it through our large language model to create a care plan. And now we're ready to go in the home. So what's happening is to start where your story started, nurse goes in the home. And she's walking the home with a care plan that has been personalized and tailored to that patient. No two care plans are the same. It is not like like older EMRs would say, this patient has diabetes. Here's the three things you do for that person with diabetes. Ours is going to say is this patient has diabetes, lives in a rural area, doesn't have a PCP, and the family live 50 miles away. And we're going to build a plan around that. But the nurse is walking in the home with that. Then, and then they can complete the OASIS documentation that needed to be done in the home. And then throughout all of that, we have and it's a popular AI tool in the market. We've deployed it in ours as well, which is called ambient listening. So we can listen to the patient clinician conversation and support clinical notes as well. So remember, our mission is to reduce admin burden. So we've added that tool so that we can help the nurse in the home. The nurse completes the work, ambient listening has taken notes, visit is done, nurse leaves the home. Now you get to a variety of other tools. You can take the clinical notes that were made from ambient listening, put those into your EMR. You can then, with it simple as hitting a button, have Sage go out and check in on the patient on a regular cadence. It could be everything from tuck-in calls on Fridays. It can be just a general follow-up call. It could be, maybe you want to dig in a little bit more about the patient's CHF and see how they're doing with their CHF that particular day. You can do that. Mm-hmm. And all of that data comes back to the nurse. And now the nurse, like I said, is the air traffic control. She's managing her virtual staff, if you will, looking at the notes that were taken from Sage's conversations, and then can decide like where he or she needs to jump in. I know that was a lot more than the process that you were describing, but it's really the end-to-end engagement of the patients that we're using.
Yeah. Now, does it have to integrate with an EMR? Because that would be a question I'm sure somebody would ask.
Oh, yeah. We get asked all the time. It can work just fine as a standalone. Does not need to be integrated. And you get the benefits of that. We also partnered with an organization you might be familiar with called No2, which is it's like an interoperability partner. And that allows us to push and pull data from most EMRs around the country. But what I will say is we're able to integrate. There's really not an EMR we can't integrate with, whether it's directly through our No2 connection or directly into the EMR specifically. So we do get that question a lot, and we're always able to integrate should the request come up.
So for those who might not be familiar with some of the complex CMS forms like OASIS or HOPE, just break that down for us. What's the real pain points that clinical teams have, and how is Vivid Health making their lives easier?
Yeah. So if any of your listeners right now, are in the home health hospice space, their hair may have stood up in their arms when you said those two words, HOPE and OASIS. OASIS is a 27-page document. It's over 200 questions. And for every Medicare patient that takes home health, they have to fill out that form. It takes the most a nurse can fill out in a day is two. Generally, on average, it can take anywhere from 2 to 3 hours, and it's how home health agencies get paid. And so on the home health side, I've often viewed it as, creates a little bit of a throughput issue, because if you can only see two patients a day because the paperwork is so, long, then it really limits your ability to see patients. But it is required. MA plans often require some version of it as well. And what our platform does with that particular document, and it'll be true of HOPE as well, is we've streamlined the questions. We've even moved some to a fifth grade level reading level such that the patient can understand it and the patient can support responses. And then the nurse can validate the responses. It's really important. Again, your listeners are probably thinking this right now. The nurse has to validate what's in there. Like that, they are mm-hmm. the clinician. They do need to validate it. But if we can move them to use the analogy again, second or third base and acquiring that data before they go in the home, or potentially even some of it while in the home, then you've moved that 2 to 3 hour time frame way down. HOPE is a brand new document that all hospices will have to fill out in order to get paid. It's kind of essentially the same as OASIS, a little shorter. There's additional requirements around care planning and some other things that are in there, but we've effectively deployed the same idea that it may not always be the patient, but it could be their caregiver, and we can acquire that information ahead of time in our platform, build a plan around the patient ahead of time, and then the nurse can really focus on refining and validating the data in the home versus just it being one long Q&A session, which is what we're really trying to avoid.
So if I'm an owner of an agency, what are some stats around the reduced amount of time it takes? So A, can my clinicians potentially go see more patients? So can I see more patients in a day? Because I would think that I'm going to have to maybe drop the rate that I pay them on a per visit rate, because I'm adding technology that now reduces their workload, that could, but then they can make it up by seeing more patients. Would that be true?
Could be. I mean, like the rates that are paid are largely, you know, to state the obvious, they're going to be dictated by that organization. If we are making the clinicians more efficient, and by the way, to answer one of your questions directly, we're seeing far greater than 50% reduction in documentation time using our platform. And that doesn't even take into account the full automation of follow-up calls and things like that. Then I think you could potentially see more patients. That extra money that you're making, you could then reinvest in your nurses. And then what's going to happen is more nurses are going to work for you. And the more nurses you have that want to work for you, the more revenue you're going to have, because they are the key to your revenue creation, because they've got to fill out the form. They've got to submit it. You have to get the medical director to approve the forms. But there's this virtuous cycle that can be created from seeing more patients, sorting more revenue, investing in your nurses, lowering your burnout, increasing your retention, and then growing your business. And I think it's in that exact order that any organization that works with us could reap the benefits of that.
All right, Patrick, let's talk a little bit about the impact of patient care. So a lot of healthcare tech solutions focus on operations, but at the end of the day, it all comes back to patient outcomes, right? I mean, that's why we're all in the business. So how does streamlining documentation and compliance ultimately improve the care of the patient?
Yeah. So I don't know if you have any nurses or clinicians in your family, but if you ask them, like, if you had a standard 8-hour workday, 9 to 5, and today you're spending 50% of it filling out forms or calling a patient or scheduling a patient, and you got that, and that was taken away, how would you spend your time? And I guarantee you 99% of the time they would say, well, I would double down on the care I'm giving to the patients. I would make sure that, everything from, you know, vaccinations are up to date to PCP visits are scheduled, that DME has gotten into the home, all the things that I guarantee they're wishing they could do. They can't, or they can't do it at the quality that they would like to do it because they're being, you know, dragged down by the paperwork. So if we can take that off of them and we can, give them the tools to, and frankly, it is very AI driven, like the AI capabilities to allow them to be amplified and be the super nurse, become a super nurse, then that's what we're going to do. And that's our target.
When you're talking about nurses and building those teams, I want to talk a little bit about building high performance teams. They've got the tools they need. So you've been innovative, and innovation in healthcare is no small feat, especially right now. But what have you learned about building a team that's not just technically strong, but also deeply understands the needs of providers and patients?
Yeah, we, one of it's really all of our early hires needed to have not just experience in healthcare, but like deep experience in what the problem we were trying to solve. So for example, and the product we want to create. So my first two hires are my other two co-founders. My chief product officer, she comes from MD Live, which was a national telehealth network out of Cigna, and years of healthcare experience before that in a consulting role. And she understood what a platform would mean in terms of patient engagement, provider engagement, what it needed to look like and feel like. And so that was step 1A. And then step 1B was you can't build a clinical platform and a clinical company without a clinician on board. And so we brought in our chief clinical officer, Dr. Susan Leonelli, who comes from Microsoft, comes from another telehealth company called 98.6, and a variety of other healthcare organizations to kind of drive the clinical vision for what this would be. And then we hired our business development folks come from the home health hospice background. So they understood sort of the in-depth operations. Frankly, I'm the silly one that was sitting outside of this that was like, you know, I've run a big health plan, I've run a bunch of ACOs, but the fortunate piece of my experience was seeing what high growth looked like and seeing like, you know, the headwinds. And what I often say is finding people who are comfortable living in the gray every day in a company like us is not black and white. I don't have a handbook to hand someone and say, every day is going to be like this. This is what you're going to do from 9 to 5. It's an adventure, but you have to find those personality types. And when you get the people who have the experience, who are comfortable living in the gray and are made of it, motivated to make a change, like each one of them are, then and you hire good engineers, which I don't want to not mention them, that have done a wonderful job of building out this platform, then you're going to be set up for success. You'll be able to do the things that I've been talking about.
That's so, a good way to say it, living in the gray.
Well, you know, and I was just thinking as you're talking, there's a lot of agencies that, you know, because we do a lot of chart reviews. So sometimes those charts, you know, they're not getting turned in time because they're in rural areas. And it takes a while for them to, you know, get all their documentation and get it turned in. I mean, I think this kind of solves that problem too.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that's very important because that allows us to get the chart coded, because we're all about helping agencies create predictable revenue, right? And so technology is the way that agency is going to be more streamlined across the board, right? From intake all the way to payment. And so I look at this as saying, man, you get that documentation in, because sometimes it could be 5, 7, 10 days is what we hear sometimes, which is crazy, but you got to understand it. A lot of rural areas, right? But getting that turned in, that your team, either internal, or external, they code it and they get it done. You have that stuff sent off and now you're just moving on. I think that's really great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, like on the rural care piece, one of the things that we push a lot is drive from house A to house B. It can take a long time. And then once you're done with that start of care, how are you going to go back out there? And how do you manage all of that? And if you have someone that, the voice agent that can be directly engaged, that can speak to the patient and understand like what's happening and then provide that feedback back to the nurse. I know I keep hitting on the same point, but suddenly like, it's like the nurse has her own team that's going out and working on her behalf. And so she can have someone engage Jane Doe at house A in a different pay, and then maybe go to house B, and each house is, you know, receiving the same level of care.
So team, we're going to listen to Sage. I'm going to call Sage. I'm going to put her up here to this microphone. We're going to have a conversation.
Hi, this is Sage, a virtual agent from Ellipsis. I help people get ready for their upcoming home care visit. Could you please tell me your name?
Michael.
Hi, Michael. How are you today?
I'm fantastic.
That's wonderful to hear, Michael. I'm so glad you called today. I just want to check in on a few things to better prepare our staff to serve you. This will only take a few minutes, but will make a huge difference in your care. Is that okay?
Yes.
Great. Is English your preferred language?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. When you get papers or instructions from your doctor or pharmacy, do you ever need help reading them?
No.
All right. Thanks for sharing that. I'd like to ask you about your connection with other people. How often do you feel lonely or isolated from others?
Not much. I am married though, but I'm doing good.
That's good to hear, Michael. Let's talk about your daily self-care. Can you wash up, comb your hair, brush your teeth, and take care of your nails by yourself?
Yes.
Or do you need someone to help you or do it for you?
No, I can do it myself.
Okay, got it. Can you move from bed to chair safely and reposition yourself, or do you need help?
I can do it myself.
Great to know. In the last 2 weeks, have you taken any medication for a bladder infection?
No.
All right. Do you have any open wounds or injuries on your skin that still need some time to heal?
No.
Okay, thank you. Are you able to take your medications on your own?
Yes.
Got it. Does anyone have to prepare your meds or remind you to take them?
No.
All right. Understood. Finally, are you currently having or expecting to have any treatments like cancer care, IV medications, dialysis, respiratory support, or oxygen?
No.
Thank you so much for taking the time to share this with me, Michael. This information helps us understand how we can make things easier for you. Please let me know if there's anything else on your mind.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Thanks again, Michael. We're here for you. So please don't hesitate to reach out anytime. Goodbye.
Bye.
So she sounds real. She sounds like a real person.
Well, I like how she could change her tone. Like, hey, great to hear that, Mike. Like you see, you almost like the, like they really care.
Yeah. Yeah. And we tell people all the time, it's an employee that can work 24 hours a day, never gets tired, won't quit, won't resign. And the number of use cases you can use is really limitless. So you, for the folks listening, they probably, some of those questions probably resonated with them because those are actual Oasis questions. So that's an example of assessment, you know, but you could have her call on a Friday and just say, hey, you know, the weekend's coming, want to check in, see how you're doing, make sure you're ready. You know, if you need anything, call this number. Is there anything you need? And she can be the tentacles to the patients when the nurse can't always be there, but the nurse is always able to go back, see what the conversation was. Actually, we alert the nurse, say, hey, there's a transcript for you to look at. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, it's the future. It's the easiest way to say it.
Now, if I would have said no to English, would she have spoke Spanish or something?
Yeah, she's English and Spanish, working on Russian right now, actually.
Okay.
And we can actually work through most any other language. We just want to work with a partner on what those would be.
Got it. No, that's great. So that is fantastic. So looking ahead, what's next for Vivid Health? What do you got in the back of that mind of yours?
We want to stay laser focused on our mission. And so right now it's talking to anyone and everyone that will listen around what we're offering, what we can do, you know, how we can grow. And that's not just, yes, it's home health and hospice, but the primary care market, you know, chronic care management, that type of thing, or, you know, partners, maybe like HealthRev or others where synergies are there, or maybe we're one part of the process and organization's the other part of the process. And we're just, teaming up to give the best value to the customers.
Yeah. No, this was fantastic. I appreciate you taking time out of it. I know you're busy with this. I know it's doing very well, and I can't wait for people to hear about this product. So if somebody was interested in wanting to learn more about this to see if it's the right fit for their agency, how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So you can go to our website, vividhealth.ai, and there's certainly an opportunity to outreach there. You can also, you know, reach out to me directly. Yeah, I mean, whether it's on LinkedIn or Amanda Conley, my vice president of business development, reach out directly to her. But we're here. We're ready to take your call. So there's multiple different ways to reach out.
Awesome.
Oh, this is really cool.
And I don't know if I heard you right, but in Sage will basically almost set you up to tell you, here's the focus of care. Is that right?
Yeah. So what she'll do is she makes the call, has the conversation. What comes back is a transcript and a summary of the conversation. You know, the nurse is going to look at the summary generally. And then we can take that data and she can stop there and just start there. Like, here's what the follow-up call is about.
Yeah.
But then we can also take that data. You press a button, and literally just one button, and about 30 seconds later, a full plan comes up for the patient, which is the answer to your question, which is, and when we go into the deep dive, I can show you what it looks like, but it builds out everything that the AI believes that we should do for the patient. And then that's the area of focus moving forward. But it's about, let me put the strongest pitch, if you will, is to move from identifying Jane Doe to reach out to having an area of focus for the nurse. Should take the nurse about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, and again, I may be thinking too far ahead, so I apologize if I am, but I'm thinking that, you know, when we review charts and we review the Oasis, we do the coding and we review the plan of care. I think what would be an interesting study is that with this product, how accurate is the plan of care?
So we've taken it and then we've had clinicians compare what they would have put in it versus what it produced. And it's consistent with what their expectations are. Mm-hmm. The difference is, well, besides the time savings, is that it's fully editable. It kind of goes back to the provided led AI part. Let's say you wanted to add an extra goal or you wanted to add something else for the patient needs to do. There's no stopping you from doing that and adding it in there.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, but we've gotten feedback that it's what the clinician would expect.
Yeah. I just wonder if it's different if you get a perspective from RN that's duly certified, because even though clinicians out in the field, they're not certified, right? So they're just doing the documentation, they think what it is. But when we actually review the plan of care, we're matching it to the Oasis and everything is answered there.
Yeah.
Because again, when you think about ways that this could save money, and I'm just throwing stuff out there, if agencies don't have to have someone review the plan of care, that can be a significant savings because of the tool you're offering.
Oh yeah. I say this with a high degree of confidence.
Yeah. No,
and it's more detailed. So I can put a visual on the screen, but like the ones I've seen that clinicians get or come out of the EMR are like this. This is like the most like personalized. We even have it write a letter at the bottom of it to the patient in an empathetic tone that says like, you're doing a wonderful job. Here's some other things you need to look out for. Like, you know, talk to your dietitian about this or this, or lean on your family for these things. And so it's impressive.
My guess is it's probably more comprehensive. I mean, I know if it's, you know, a clinician's perspective is so limited and that focus, unless they've gone through the OASIS and detailed all of their notes, it's not going to be as comprehensive. Like you said, they're usually pretty small.
I'll put a visual.
Because we're human.
When I say like full care plan, is it just like demographics and things, and the nurse approves each section, but you have the milestones, meds, problems, goals, and interventions, follow-up appointments, and then this letter to the patient. When we have our more in-depth meeting, I'll walk you through it. But like, it's so much more comprehensive. It's anchored on the person and not just like what the EMR spits out.
Yeah. All right. Well, Patrick, great meeting you. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye.